You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Nicole Hacks at Kupo.
Nicole.
You got fans in here, okay?
I love Nick. She's not a fan. She's a friend.
Okay.
I take that back. She's a fan. I have a lot of fans all over the world, globally.
Yeah, yeah. Your relationship has not gotten to friendship yet. She's a fan. No, Nicole Hack is the absolute homie. We call her the mayor of Chicago because she...
Kupo is low. I've never been told that I'm low in my life, so...
I'll raise her up.
Turn me up.
These are the same levels that Alexis and I use, but maybe, you know...
I'm being a poor Alexis substitute.
Alexis is a little bit louder than pretty much every human being, so
that's fair enough.
That's no surprise. A nice cold brew. Turn her up a little. Turn me up. Let's do it. Okay, so I'll explain everything in a moment, just kind of how... my day has gone.
I can't wait to hear it. I'm waiting with bated breath.
Because I am grateful that Christine Kupo is joining me to guest host. But it was a bit of a scramble because I had so Alexis is gone. Alexis not gone. Like he's passed away. Alexis is in Paris.
R.I.P. I'm just kidding. That's actually not even funny to say.
Alexis is in Paris. He's on vacation enjoying himself, so he's dead to me, okay? But no, he is in Paris with his wife enjoying a vacation. He was in London the week prior watching Arsenal succeed, which we'll get to because we have you're the replacement Gooner that we have here.
That was the real criteria today.
But no, I had, I told everybody last week, I said, Alexis is away, so I'm going to have some different co-hosts. And you were actually supposed to be the co-host tomorrow. And we were going to do the show.
And you just couldn't wait. I said, out of bed immediately. Run, jump, let's go.
You know what? I was like, Christine, get a job. Do something with your life. And she showed up.
Tell me this pen.
No, but Christine, we're obviously in OS NYC today. Shout out to OS for welcoming us again. The dopest gaming space out in New York City. I don't think there's another one. You ever been to a gaming space?
Can't say that I have.
How much of a nerd? How much of a nerd are you? How much of a gamer are you? I'm curious.
I am the variety of gamer that I am easily lured in by my fellow players.
Okay.
So, say teams I've played on, I have a lot of avid gamers that want to get me on FIFA, and I will occasionally do it, but my style is more of the let's mash these buttons and see what's happening.
Got it. Got it. Okay.
While I'm actually just enraging men who are screaming buttons at me.
Right.
Really my enjoyment in the game. I'm like, you know what? I might not take a single shot with this controller, but you know what I'll do? I'll make you cry.
Okay, that works. is there not even like a Candy Crush type of person? You don't do anything?
No, I'm really more of like a words game kind of like
got it, got
Scrabble,
it.
Like we can do old format.
Decoding
like
text messages.
Yeah. Oh. Listen, if anyone ever needs a detective, I'm available, but I'm very, very pricey. I'm worth it though.
Okay, cool. So, but no, this space is awesome. Obviously, there's like Nintendo Switch, PlayStations, PC games. Have driving.
But also, like high party vibes in here. Like,
yeah,
this
yeah.
Seems
there's
like a really cool
this
space.
This is a dope party space. Yeah, and they have like great drinks and stuff like that. So if you're ever in New York, come out to OSNYC. It is absolutely dope. Okay, so yes. I was supposed to have co-hosts this week, and last week I had Taylor Rockwell of Total Soccer Show join me.
A gem of a human.
Very much so, yeah, yeah. And you know, I mean, everybody in the chat would agree. And then this week I was supposed to, so you were going to be the guest host tomorrow, and then I won't say who it was, but I had a guest lined up today, and she couldn't make it. That's as much as I'll say. She couldn't make it.
So I'm a super sub.
So what? I mean, you were starting the game tomorrow, and you had to play in the cup match a little sooner than you probably wanted to. So
a very refined skill set I have.
So we're gonna be doing Prem Show today with Christine. Thank you for joining. If anybody's new here, my name is Christian Polanco. I am one half of the Cooligans. The other half, Alexis Garros, is on vacation. As you know,
oui, c'est très bon.
I'll be on vacation soon. Next month on my honeymoon. Okay, which should sorting everything out, but it should be in Italy. Gonna go to so I'll have to ask you about
what to do out there. You may never come back.
Okay, I just drape myself in whatever salted meats they got over there.
Prosciutto, capicolo, like, yeah, you'll be fine. You won't be at a shortage.
It's gabagool. I mean, look, I hate that. I don't mean to, well, actually, you and your Italian stuff, but.
It's the gabagool for me.
Trish Murphy said, I can't believe Rapinoe bailed on you. Yes, let's start. What's the biggest name, like, rumor of who could have ditched on the show that we could Rapinoe's a pretty good one.
That is a really good one.
You know, Kamala Harris. I cannot believe the vice president of the United States ditched an opportunity to be on this show.
She really doesn't understand the value here. I get it. I mean, she might be solving world crises, but this is where you need to be.
I agree. Okay. Silhouettes Rock said, who is in Paris? I don't know what this – there's a lot of asterisks, and I hope it's not the – the Jay-Z and Kanye song.
Yeah. We won't be singing that today for you.
Okay.
No medley.
Colo Blanco said, gabagool. Thank you. You Crimson Pizza said, you got to do your stag do first. So we were talking about this last week. Apparently, they don't call it a bachelor party. They call it a stag do in England.
Yeah, I've heard it called the stag party.
Yeah, but stag.
I've heard stag do. I don't understand the stag do. Like, what's the do component? What are we?
Yeah, somebody please explain. We got a couple, Brits in the chat, so feel
free. Help us understand with our simple American brains.
Right.
What stag do is.
Nick Harris said, happy belated birthday, Kirsten. Yes, my birthday was on Saturday.
Did you do big things?
No, I'm not a big I'm over my birthday. Are you? Yeah, I went to your birthday party.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm a big birthday person, and for years I had like major, like, huge parties.
Okay.
And then I feel like COVID hit and I went a little bit more low key.
And you were like, let's party harder because
party harder but like in tighter circles. Like, fewer people should know what I look like when I hit the wall.
Right.
But yeah, like you and Alexis have had really fun parties in the past.
Yeah.
Those are like, yeah, RIP those.
COVID,
those,
yeah, ruined some of those. Maybe, I think my hope is right before COVID started, we were supposed to have a party here. And we were like scheduling it and planning the whole thing. And then COVID was like, nah, fam, no thanks. So ruined it. Yeah, and that's really the worst thing that's ever come from COVID. So everybody knows that. Okay, where to begin today. So everybody, again, welcome to the show. Thank you for everybody joining us here on YouTube. We appreciate it. Also, the last few weeks I've been forgetting to mention, if there's anything that you would like us to talk about, especially because I am prepared today, but I'm prepared for a completely different show because I had questions and research.
I mean, you can still ask me the same questions and I will just like wing it. It'll be like the most elite
improv
ever.
Okay, Christine, how are you resolving this Ukraine crisis? Because Kamala was supposed to sort this out.
Yeah.
No, so the
should we make a TikTok song about it? That will sell. That's world peace.
Exactly. I mean, it's viral videos. What was the when COVID started? The Imagine. What was it? What was her name? Wonder Woman.
Gal Gadot.
She was. I mean, we got to think. Why didn't she do something for Ukraine? Maybe she doesn't care. I guess. Anyway. Yes, I was prepared for a completely different show. So today, especially because Christine is here, especially for everyone in the chat, we have the Serie A expert here. If there's any questions, any Serie A questions, feel free to ask them. I have a couple we're going to talk about in a moment. But we have to start with what's in the title, what's in the thumbnail. Can you mind passing me my hat?
Of course.
Just so...
ever so gently, just like this, exactly how people always hold hands.
We got to talk about Everton Football Club and the not just their win against Chelsea. They won 1-0, a goal from Richarlison. Chelsea, Alexis and I were talking about this particular match, and we were going over the remaining fixtures for Everton and checking to see if realistically could they get enough points with the matches that they have left to potentially win and just stay in the Premier League. So I'll bring this up here. We saw obviously they played Chelsea. Next up is Watford, then Brentford, all the Ferds. okay, Crystal Palace and Arsenal. So when we were talking about those, we said Alexis didn't think Everton could beat Chelsea, and they did. So the games where they shouldn't win, they win. They won against Manchester United a couple weeks ago. They beat Chelsea. They lose to Burnley, right, in the middle in that stretch. So, look, Arsenal are not going through what Everton are going going through. But I want to get your I can give you my perspective, because honestly, the games that are giving me the most anxiety are not the Everton games. They're the Burnley games. The Burnley matches are the ones where I'm like, I hate that they're making me watch these games. That in itself, nobody ever says, Yo, turn on that Burnley game right now.
It's a personal affront at this point, isn't it? They're like, hey, Christian, how you feeling? Burnley, huh?
It's offensive that I have to watch these games. And Burnley were down. They played, oh, my God, who did they play? They played Watford. They played Watford, and they were down 1-0 to Watford. Watford had a billion chances to make it, like, two, three goals up. And they miss all those great chances. And then Burnley in the second half scores two, and they win the game. Or I think they might have scored three. I don't remember. So this is infuriating, because we all know Burnley is supposed to lose. Why aren't Burnley losing? Christine, can you please? Can we start there?
I have a bunch of theories, but I think largely there are teams that happen to play to the level of their opponents, and they do that really well. And unfortunately, that means that there's a lot of winning when you're like, there's no way they have this game.
Right.
And a lot of losing when you think it's a game in hand. And now we're getting into the wacky part of the season where it's so late that everything counts. So, you know, you get a little bit of blood, sweat, and extra tears.
We're not supposed to be in this position, right?
I get it.
So,
like, wage bills and talent and stars aligning. Have you guys tried burning sage?
Okay. What team is that? Do we got to burn? Anyway. So we'll see where they are right now. Right, Everton are in 18th place. They have one game in hand over Leeds and Burnley. So this is actually Burnley winning is I it's shocking, but the fact that now Leeds are brought into this, I feel bad because of the Jesse Marsh.
Yes.
Story and Jack Harrison, who played for NYCFC, he's the homie out in Leeds. I don't want to see Leeds get relegated.
Do we all agree that we have to ride for our Americans abroad? Like, we
sure,
kind of do, right?
And Jack isn't even American, but
I feel like we've adopted him in a way.
Totally,
like, he's one of ours, despite being not one of ours.
Right, he is because he was the first player that we ever interviewed, that we ever did like a live interview with in front of people and stuff like that, and it was great. I always say this, Jack Harrison. More actually, Jack Harrison's mom changed our lives, because the reason we even got that interview was because Jack Harrison's mom, Debbie, would sit in the supporter section. She would sit in our section hitting the drums and everything like this, just like this lovely British lady.
See, I didn't even realize this. This is so wholesome. This is right in my wheelhouse. Of, like, now I'm further endeared to Jack Harrison and the Harrison family.
She is the absolute best. And we walked up to her one day, literally in the supporter section, and said, hey, we would love to, like, we're comics. We do a show. We would love to interview your son. She was like, sure, I'll put you in touch with his people and we spoke to his agent, and then it all happened. And then when Jack actually, we did the show at Upper 90 in Brooklyn, and when Jack showed up, I'm like, this is crazy. He's actually here.
He's actually here. Like, we don't have to put that dummy and prop it up.
But
in the
we were just idiots in the supporter section, and it actually happened. So there's a sentimental thing with Jack Harrison where I'm like, he can't get relegated. But if it's Everton or Leeds, bruh, you're gonna, you know, business is business.
Listen, if it's Arsenal, like, re-entering Champions League, or potentially like my grandma,
right?
Like, listen, life's been hard for seasons, okay? And like, she's had a long life, so
Nana, you've had a good run.
Nana, it's fine.
An ice cold brew said, "Would love Leeds to stay up, but it's gonna be tough." Jamal said, LOL, Ted Lasso is getting relegated. Referring to Jesse Marsh. Bro, was it? Didn't somebody else? Oh, yeah, because they were making fun of Jesse Marsh for doing the huddles.
Yes.
You know, after his first game, they had lost and did a huddle. All the Jamal, I believe Jamal's from London. Everybody in England, like, who is this joke of a manager?
Yeah, they start pulling out, like, who's this Yankee? When did you guys learn that?
And then a couple weeks later, Phil Neville, head coach for Inter Miami, what does he do after a game? A huddle. Okay, where's the outrage?
I don't understand the, like, however you manage as a coach, manager, uh-huh. whatever we're calling it, right, to create a team bond. I don't care if he's pulling out and doing paint a pot. Like, I don't, you know, like, I'm not going to judge that. Like,
yeah, it's also like, I mean, to be a manager, it's a pretty ridiculous job, right? Like, we do this with most authority figures, right? Where we know you have to act like you know what's going on. Like you have to have a vision. We play along with you. You do your silly games and your silly, you know, psychological. I don't know if you've read any manager autobiography. They all have ways of how a player's manager and tactical this and that.
Yeah, tactical manager, strategy manager.
So you gotta. It's like having you know, like when you have your teacher for years and then it's like, or for the school year, and then you have a substitute that does something slightly different. It's like, what is this ridiculous thing? We normally color at 9:08 p.m. This is
Where is nap time? Yeah.
So
yeah, slight deviation. People notice.
So the fact that Jesse Marsh gets this criticism, I at the very least, I like that he's handling it a little bit more, a little bit better than like Bob Bradley did, where Bob Bradley like internalized it and allowed people to talk about him. He was like, oh, well, I can't control the media and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I think that's the difference between just their personality types, too, that you understand your place in this public sphere.
Right.
And they're definitely different managers. Yes, they're both Americans. But I think that Jesse's trajectory has been different from Bob's. And so with that, I think also being 2022 now that Jesse has this gig, which is amazing, you need to start leaning into the things that are different about you, because that sometimes makes an impact on the field and on the players too.
So, right. Yeah. It seems like the when Bob Bradley was there, it was still old guard. TikTok wasn't even really out or whatever. You weren't doing
pre-TikTok, so dinosaur age.
You know, individuality wasn't like the thing. But I think Jesse Marsh is handling it well. But I do think it really all hedges on the fact that he needs to stay up. I mean, if he gets Leeds relegated, it is going to be bad, and it's going to be a bad look on American managers.
I think it would be true of anyone coming into that role, especially in these sort of very precarious waters that they're in.
Yeah.
But, of course, he's under a magnifying glass because he's an American manager, because let's give them any reason to do the whole prove them wrong thing.
Right. And they lost. Leeds lost 4-0 to Manchester City, which you expect to lose to Manchester City, but you can't lose 4-0. You can't put up Bielsa numbers to.
You're like, hey, the last guy got away with it for a while.
We just left this. We just got rid of this.
I love Bielsa. I'm a little bit of a Bielsa acolyte.
Okay.
And I like his style and him as a person. So.
Alexis does this as well. I mean, you are sitting in his seat.
I need to work on my screaming, but like apparently
Alexis also is a fan of Bielsa. I think there's. We have this debate all the time where the style of manager we talked about with Taylor. I talked about Hernan Losada, which he's also a disciple.
Yes. And that's what excites me. Like, we start to see some of these managers pop up in MLS, and I love that style of football.
Okay.
And
so how do you feel about the way the players are managed themselves? Because the specifics about like their body fat and weight and things like that. I had this conversation with Taylor and especially this becomes a big issue. I don't know if it's a bigger issue or not. Maybe men tend to be more secretive or discreet about this, but it is common knowledge, like in the women's game, about criticizing women's bodies and the kind of damage it can cause from coaches.
Yeah, for sure. I think that the issue with that is we've leaned so heavily into analytics to improve everything across the board. Game, players, maintenance, and styles. And it's hard to disprove science when you say, hey, like, this player needs to lose X amount of weight or otherwise. Do I think that there's a proper way to go about it, especially in training and otherwise? For sure. Last season, there was a really peculiar presser that Pirlo had done where he essentially, like, called McKenny fat.
Right. I did hear something like that.
That rubbed me the wrong way because I feel like that certainly should be within, like, the trainers at J Medical, him, and their discussions going forward about, like, his BMI and otherwise and how they're measuring his progress.
Yeah.
But I don't think that that's something they need to be outwardly criticized for. I think, yeah, we expect them as elite professional athletes to be top form all the time. But you're also managing through a pandemic, through illness, through everything else. And so
through his ranch habits.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean... Yeah. Bruh. I mean, I was unaware that Weston was just like chipping in bottles of ranch for himself in Italy, which, you know, I had made smuggling at this point. So proudly was like, oh, yes, Weston McKennie's coming. I got up on my Schalke like podium and was like, here's a, because, of course, me following his entire trajectory.
Right.
And also among the Italians getting to be like, yeah, look, like perfect example. And then this man gets on Amazon and says, pizza with ranch, perhaps? And I was like, I digress.
Just like, you know what? Pirlo made some good points, you know?
Yeah, I was like, maybe.
It definitely is, you know, as far as talking about a player's weight or body type or whatever, that definitely feels like that should be a private conversation and never should be brought up in any public setting because there's really no benefit to it. You're going to have fans and the press talking about that. It's going to make the player a billion times more self-conscious, male or female.
Not to mention, fans are sometimes really rabid and completely out of pocket. So I feel like in instances where you can avoid fueling fires that need not be, that's one of them.
Okay. Michael Raymond asked a question. Is that Kupo? It is Kupo. We've confirmed. Okay.
Confirmed. He checked my ID when I walked in.
I've checked in. I got two sources even to confirm. This is Christine Kupo of CBS Sports. All right. We have a couple questions. Jamal said, I wanted Burnley to go down because I hate gravel voice Sean Dyche. He does have a gravelly voice.
Sean does have a gravelly voice, but he also has a little bit like a mid-table punchable face.
Ooh.
And so I feel like maybe that could lead to it.
A mid-table punchable face. What a great description of just like a British footballing man. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like there's a lot of people that look like Sean Dyche. You know
I have
what I mean?
A lot of things that go on in my head and the criteria. He ticks a few boxes.
It's wild. I thought as soon as they let him go, I thought it was like, oh, that's it. Burnley, they're falling apart. They're going to get relegated. This guy's been with the team up and down in the Premier League for, I think he's managed the team almost like 12 years or 7 or 8, something like that. A long time. And then to get rid of him right now seems like a strange time. But I thought it was going to fall apart. But then this new guy. This new guy's doing everything right, and I can't stand this new guy. Okay. He said, but now they've got Michael Jackson in charge, which I don't think that's his name, but okay. You can't hate the king of pop, so Leeds can go down. I don't care. Jesse Marsh to take over USMNT in 2024 after Triple G disappoints in the World Cup when our player progression gets stagnant. What do you think about that? Because everybody seems like they – this is my thing with USMNT managers. People, put these guys on a pedestal. The managers who are not the managers, they put them on a pedestal. And then when they get there, they're like, oh, this guy sucks. He doesn't know anything. And not to say that they were doing that about Berhalter, but Berhalter, I think, has done the job well enough. Third place in World Cup qualifying. The margin, if it's simply saying, would you want Greg Berhalter or John Herdman, who finished first in World Cup qualifying for Canada, do you, like, Most people do not even know who John Herdman is. I mean, with all due respect, I mean, most American fans.
They should. They should. Everybody, quick Google.
So if he had won two more matches, are you putting Greg on this pedestal? Is he good enough? Like, he qualified for the World Cup. The last USMNT manager didn't. How much more should we expect out of this man?
I think that every time someone gets their opportunity, there will be an uproar, especially within the U.S. soccer system, specifically for the men's national team.
Okay.
And so I think that despite any of the suggestions, there's always the swarm of anti-U.S. soccer folks that by default will hate who they choose to manage the team. Even if they start to succeed, there'll still be criticisms. But his success thus far, which we're going to call this a success, I think.
That's fair,
right? I think that stifled a few people. Because how are you going to be angry at somebody that's done? We already missed a World Cup cycle, right?
Because people have like agendas in place. Yes. And it's like, why are you ruining my talking points?
Why are you ruining my narrative that I've created in my head? I hate these people. Continue to hate them. No, it's really hard for some people to come off their opinions. And you know what? Right. Opinions change. You should be able to do that. If you can't, maybe that's a thing to work through with your therapist.
So Jamal just said his name is actually Michael Jackson. Okay, so the Burnley manager, his name is actually Michael Jackson. And this makes me even more upset. The fact that this is, I'm not going to be able to forget about this. He can't get promoted. We can't. But there's too much baggage with that name. Positive and very, very negative. Okay.
Very man in the mirror. Huh?
Okay. Robert from LA said, Burnley have the Pope as their goalkeeper. Nick Pope, what did Christian expect? You know what I hate about Nick Pope is not him as a person or player, is that in FIFA 21, he's not a highly rated player in the game, but he's like 9 feet tall. He has like the wingspan of like a pterodactyl. He's too good in the game. They fixed it this year, but last year it was a bit annoying. Okay. And Ice Cold Brew said Marsh is actually plan B after trying getting Pep to dip his toe into international management, meaning that Pep Guardiola. A lot of people have said this, that they want Pep Guardiola as the USMNT manager, because I remember a couple weeks ago after the U.S. qualified, he did like a post-game interview. I forgot after which game in particular, but he was like, he stopped, Arlo White or somebody in the middle of a question. He was like, hey, I just want to make sure I congratulate the U.S. For qualifying for the World Cup. And everybody's like, that's it. He wants us. He knows who we are.
That is like the equivalent of the dude leaving the heart eye emoji on your IG pic. Just going to drop this here real quick. Like,
okay.
Notice me.
Start planning the wedding, all right?
I don't know because, again, now Pep, I like Pep. Pep, a Bielsa acolyte. Mm-hmm. I appreciate him. He's done wonders for City. But what do you do when you don't have that roster of players?
Oh, right. Yeah. Does he actually make players better, or does he just bring great players together?
Right. So I think that there's a huge difference in just those types of manager qualities. So you can look at somebody like a Conte, who some people will hate, some people will love. But one of his sort of superhero powers as a manager is he will make a very mediocre, okay-ish player great. He makes everybody better and drags them up to their level.
Then I would say that the manager that does that best in the Premier League is probably Jurgen Klopp. I mean, when you look at Liverpool's team and like of individual players and wherever they played in other places, I mean, look at Diogo Jota. Like, why is he so good? He was okay at Wolves. And this dude is like literally one of the best scorers in the Premier League while he's playing at Liverpool.
Klopp is so good at his job and such a decent human.
Okay.
And that comes out in all of his insights in every interview that he ever does. That
Elo Stacks just said, it's official. Pep wants to bang us. Okay. I'll take it. It's all good. but keep going. Yes.
But I totally lost my train of thought.
Okay, then if you remember, all good. If you don't, no problem. But I got, there's a question here from Jamal who says, why do people have so much ratings for Bielsa? He has won nothing in football. The only thing he does is expected squats per game. So this is firing at you. How do you why does he get so much praise? Is it because his students are so successful, or is it why should we be praising him?
I think that that's a huge part of it. Honestly. Okay. I think that the way in which he's been able to kind of develop this next generation of managers, just from having worked with him, played with him, or otherwise, is his sort of special sauce. And when he has a squad that he can work with that works, he's very efficient. Things are good. I just think that he definitely is a manager that deserves his flowers. It's unfortunate with Leeds what transpired, but yeah. He's just, I think he's humble. He's got such grace about him. And he just seems to also have such a, what's the word I'm looking for? Like he values like living life.
Okay.
Like,
yeah. I can see that.
I think that he takes a moment to appreciate everything around him, no matter how deep in he's gone, even in like stories of people living in and around Leeds that have interacted with him.
Yeah.
I think he has this special quality to him. And I think that that's something that's lend itself to say like the Peps and the Lasadas and the,
I think so there was a, speaking of Total Soccer Show, Taylor did a, I don't know if you ever listened to the podcast Soccer 101, which is their Total Soccer Show. They started like a podcast where they go through like rudimentary subjects in soccer.
I haven't, but I'll definitely check it out. Because so that's like, something that we definitely need in the space.
So even what's the offside rule? Like there's an episode.
Some people the offside rule. When you're a woman in a bar, don't ever answer that question. Okay.
Okay. So instead of answering the question, just text her this podcast.
Yeah.
No, but there's a so there was an episode about Bielsa. So some could be like very rudimentary things, and then some are like, you know, the lore of Bielsa. Why does he have essentially this question? Why is he so well respected and stuff like that, or admired? And the and I enjoyed this episode, and I highly recommend you go listen if you haven't. But it spoke about how I would say one, he's obsessed with the game, right, with every single facet and detail of the game. And he's also very particular about the jobs that he takes. He he won't go to a Manchester City. He will never go to an established club to continue its winning ways.
Right.
He's like people in relationships that are like, I could fix him. You know, I could fix him. You just got to give me.
I feel seen. I have to go. I don't know. I signed up for this.
You know, maybe that's why you connect with him so well.
Yeah, I'm still out here fixing birds with broken wings. Don't mind me.
But he is. But that's his 100%. That's his philosophy. Where if things are going right at your club, he's not the right manager for you.
There's also managers that want to go out on top. There's managers that are the repair crew. There's managers that do want to have that continuity. And then there's the managers that want to come in from like scorched earth, ground zero, and build everything all the way up. That's a Klopp, right?
Right, right.
So
that's
Klopp is somebody.
That could be like a saying. That's a Klopp, you know?
Yeah, that's
a saying.
That's what I was saying. Yeah, so Klopp is somebody that he takes the time and energy to put it into all of his players. And he's also somebody that likes a system that takes a while to implement. So the fact that Liverpool gave him that time, which you're not seeing very often lately, right, is a luxury a lot of other managers that could thrive haven't had.
And Klopp just got like a 2-year extension or 3-year extension.
And he deserves it.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
But that's what happens when you have somebody that's good at their job and the patience to let them do what they need to do.
Okay.
People example the opposite. Sorry. Sorry, somebody.
I thought you were apologizing for something.
Sorry, ball. Takes a while to get going, and like it either works or doesn't. But if you don't give him the time, which a lot of teams will not.
He's Lazio, right?
Lazio.
He's at Lazio now. Okay. We'll talk some Serie A right now. I want to get to this. Fine XY just said, like a mechanic that prefers older used cars to restore versus buying new, which this hits close to home because my father's a mechanic that did this my entire life. And it, you know, my the first car like I learned to drive was like a Geo Metro, Which,
ooh,
yeah,
look,
I mean,
look at you.
Okay, I'm just out here getting bitches. You know how it is in this very putt-putt of a car.
Wow.
But the so my dad did this all the time, and for the most part, yeah, you do save a lot of money because you're restoring these old cars. But you know how many times this cars broke down? I got my brother who's older. It started with him because my father would be like critical if my brother was like looking into buying a car. And then the first car he bought was a Honda Civic, a '92 Civic, but he bought it out in like 2002. You know what I mean? So
fair enough. So, why did we all want a Honda Civic? Didn't we all want Honda Civics when we were like 16? Like,
that was the cool car. That was the car. It just had the perfect template or whatever.
I ended up with a Dodge Neon.
Not bad.
It was bright blue. Okay. It wasn't what I wanted. It was not a hot girl car.
What was the car you wanted?
I wanted a Honda Civic. A silver Honda. And I wanted, the only plus is I got a new car. I was not getting a new Honda Civic. My parents were like, absolutely not. So
parents,
my villain origin story.
So, but the worst that ever got was I went to this must have been where was I in somewhere in Ohio. My brother was playing in a handball tournament, and I was there with him, and we drove over there, and the car broke down like in Western Pennsylvania, so which is essentially like you're still about 6 hours away from New York.
Good luck.
The car broke down. So it was surreal. My dad was so stubborn about it that we were like, all right, we're stuck here. We had to like figure out how to get the car back to New York. So my father, we ended up renting a car and getting back home. It was just like the worst night of my life or whatever. But then my father drove. He had a friend drive him all the way. Instead of getting rid of this car, he had a friend drive him all the way to pretty much like the border of Ohio and Pennsylvania. I think those border. I don't even know. but it was far away.
American geography classes, ladies and gentlemen.
But he drove all the way there, fixed the car, and then drove it back himself instead of getting rid of this piece of shit car. It was insane. This is how.
That's persistent. Actually, that's me with my ex, so I respect it. No, I'm kidding. Run. Leave the car and let it burn.
Elo Stack says, of course Christian drove a Metro. FanXY said, Civics are easy to repair and last forever.
Well, where were you when I was trying to convince my parents at 16?
Joey Gusto said, Civics were the most stolen car in my city as a kid. That was enough to make me never want one. Well, what city, Joey, did you grow up in?
Yeah, we need to know this. This is important.
Okay.
Just so I know where to steal my Civic from if I ever get an inkling.
I love this. Elo Stas said, USMNT need the German dude who smells his armpits during the match. Jorgi Love.
Why is that burned into my brain? Like the second that you said that, I pictured him picking his nose.
Yeah. It was a strange, you know.
Can you imagine if my brain didn't retain things like that and I could actually like solve world hunger, world peace, cancer?
No,
I don't know.
No. Why bother?
No, well, you got to buy Twitter. Picking his nose.
Buy Twitter if you have any resources. That's how it works. Okay.
Right. Send me to the moon.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about Serie A a little bit. I'm admittedly not an expert, but I do watch. I try to catch maybe, I would say, a game every 2 weeks is my like Serie A intake. I am a Premier League, you know, MLS, NWSL. That's my soccer diet.
I get it. The constant pouring of the soccer directly into your eyeballs.
Yeah,
can,
you know, you can own,
some like. I'm built different. No, I'm kidding. Right, right. For me, it's like constantly Serie A, Premier League, NWSL, MLS, which I've watched a little bit less this season only because I can only put so much here.
There's just, yeah.
I find myself staring at the TV, and it's just like the app screen for hours.
It'd be weird if you were like an expert in all the leagues. Like, there's no way you can be maintain a healthy relationship with a significant other. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
there's just really no way. 2-3, I give it to you. I'm like, you know what? Your relationship is probably like a mess. But you're holding it together.
Me coming home, babe, I'm going to start watching Bundesliga every week. It's like, I'm moving. It's out. I'm out of here.
But yeah, because even when I remember Alexis and I, we went to Germany, Bundesliga flew us out to watch two matches. And it obviously very appreciative, but they do that to get more people talking about Bundesliga in the U.S.
Bundesliga do an excellent job in the U.S. in terms of trying to garner viewership and fans. They really do.
Yeah.
I went to the Bayern, the Amazon premiere, and that was really dope. I got hyped. I was like, me, lifelong Bayern Munich fan.
Well, it's like, the leagues themselves, I mean, we all, by 2026, like, obviously soccer is going to be much bigger than it is now, especially in the U.S. So everybody's fighting to have that footprint in the U.S. And it's going to be like, I feel like the leagues are going to start to become like niche fashion. Like, oh, where'd you get that? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's like.
that's not Prada. That's Prado. Ew.
Like, it's like, oh, Bundesliga? Like, oh, yeah, that was like, you know, 3-4 years ago that was in. But
season? Which season?
No, we're not.
When did you start watching? Ew.
We're doing Indian Super League now, so I don't know why you're so watching.
Go Trabzonspor.
But no, it's difficult to follow everything, but I try my best, especially Serie A, you know, just a couple years ago, if you ever saw the Zlatan documentary on Netflix, he was just talking about how English football is just played on dirt and it has no respect for it. And Serie A is where the game is played at the highest level. And things have changed a little bit as far as just like, I don't know, notoriety or publicity of a league. Like the leagues are all in competition with each other to try to be number one. I mean, Premier League is clearly there when it comes to really TV contract and stuff like that. But Serie A still has exciting games, obviously an immense history.
Serie A this season has been absolutely insane. It's been extremely competitive, really explosive, exciting matches across the board. Obviously, with the Paramount Plus bump, viewership and the ability to access and not, hypothetically speaking, going on weird parts of the internet to watch games, as some of us, hypothetically speaking, may have done in the past.
We may or may have not, you know, had 45 ads pop up when we try to watch.
Ignore that virus. It's fine. It'll play in the background now. But a lot of things have changed for the league. And so competition is up. Viewership, fans, they have historic stadiums that are just phenomenal.
Right.
And of course, revamped and new ones, and like Juve with Allianz, that, you know, brand new, like, state of the art stadiums to see in contrast to like some of the older ones. The real time rivalries, whether geography based, some of these cities are wild, or say like a Juve Fiorentina, which is just because like you steal our players. Wah.
Right, right. And even that, like with Dusan Vlahovic, right? The it seems odd because while he was playing at Fiorentina, it seemed very obvious that he was either leaving or specifically going to Juve. Alex and I spoke about this a couple months ago, but that I don't know what is the sort of that feeling when it comes to. I'm aware of it of the sort of sentiment during like in MLS and in Premier League, but it. I guess there's no easy way to put this, but it feels like in Serie A, it feels like there's so many backroom deals that are like not, like it's just like the way business is done. Because the Vlahovic situation felt like one, he didn't really want to be there, he didn't want to stay at Fiorentina, or didn't want to miss out on the opportunity to play for
a massive club,
and so I don't know, like was the feeling from the Fiorentina fans like happy that he played at the club and did what he could, or it seemed like they're upset about it?
It's always a betrayal for them.
Right.
Always. And this goes back to Baggio. So it's not like it's ever going to subside. It's just a thing that we've kind of keep. As a Juve fan, I appreciate the vitriol directed at us, because so often we do swoop in and pick some of their outstanding talent, and it's evident to everybody else. And it's very hard, I think, to say no to a Juve.
Yeah,
who doesn't want to be in one of world's best clubs at the top of their game? Vlahovic, super young. So, like, why wouldn't you give yourself the best possible standpoint to play? Also, just a phenomenal striker. My God. Like,
yeah,
him as a player, and the way that he got to shine this past season perhaps might not have been if we hadn't swooped in and taken Chiesa. Right. So when you like come take one player, that's great. It frees up that space for another player that maybe needs to be that guy to have more arm swinging room. So we've lucked out across the board. Like, thank you. Grazie mille, Fiorentina. But also sorry, and we'll continue to do battle with you.
We had a couple questions here.
Oh, good.
Omar Ramirez said, yeah, Italy doesn't make it to the World Cup. Oh, Zlatan. I mean, obviously, you know, a frustrating thing for Italy. I don't know. You've probably talked about this enough. I mean, they didn't make it.
Yeah,
what are you going to do?
I mean, high level, like, you know what? Like, we've had a collection of injuries and otherwise that did not put them in prime position to be playing.
Yeah.
Qualifiers, unfortunately, integral parts to that team, like Chiesa, who came up with a torn ACL. It was literally the luck of the draw, and the way that it panned out, it's heartbreaking that it happened, but people were so sure of themselves, even going in with Italy playing North Macedonia, that it was like, no, baby.
Mm-hmm.
The history is not there. If you pay attention, Italy always struggles with these sort of smaller nations, and I'm not worried about Portugal. I'm worried about them. And then to have that be like the oracle on that, I'm like, dude, I want to be wrong, please. But yeah, I mean,
why did I use my powers?
I need to use my powers for good instead of just being right.
Crimson Pizza, thank you for the super chat. It said, I decided to jump into Serie A next season by supporting Roma because they are the same colors as my high school. Will I be sad?
Rosso Giallo. No, you won't be sad. Roma are always usually top of the table-ish team. I think that despite some feelings about Mourinho, I think they're in good hands. I'm endeared to him. I like him a lot. I just think he has a certain way about him that's very off-putting to a lot of people. I think that my initial worries about him joining Roma had more of a player-centric issue, mostly like Chris Smalling and, say, like Mkhitaryan.
Yeah.
Because they had had issues with him in the past. That seemed to have subsided. I don't think that anybody's been off their game. If anything, I feel like they've been thriving more this season. But I think Roma's a good pick. Also, Roma is excellent. I'll say this. I'm not on the Roma payroll. But they're excellent at their philanthropic efforts, at things that they've done across the board, whether during the pandemic, sending out COVID kits to their supporter base in Italy, sending also similar medical aid and otherwise to Armenia for the Artsakh relief. They are very, very socially aware. And also, you're always going to end up with a fire kit. So right. I feel like you chose wisely.
The CBS did who profiled Mourinho?
Mourinho was Marco Messina.
Marco
Messina.
Yeah,
chat
I saw
with
that.
Jose.
And Jose seemed probably the most relatable. He was riding. It got him in his Vespa riding around. I'm like, this seems like a good dude. There's something with
I think he gets a bit of a bad rap. I think that with Jose, he's very business, and sometimes that comes off a little bit cold.
Yeah.
But I think that as a person having a conversation and otherwise functioning, I think that he's kind of just a grumpy cat.
Right. I think the contentiousness that he had with the English media didn't help and kind of framed especially the way I view him. But I'm easily this is my problem.
I have to agree, but also English media is a different kind of beast.
Sure, but this is my issue.
That's not to say that the Italian media are are going easy on anyone ever.
Right. But I'm easily swayed by like propaganda. Right. Even like you make CBS makes this like lovely puff piece on Jose Mourinho. I'm like, this guy's great. He's never done anything wrong ever. I've like my memory is completely wiped of any. any issue, and I've been watching the
little darling, I'll take you
the Kanye documentary on Netflix. I've been watching that, and I'm like, this is a good guy. Look at this good guy. And then you look at his Instagram, and I'm like, oh, bro, he's like really.
Kanye very well may be a decent person, but he's definitely rife with mental health issues.
100%.
So I wish him well. But yeah, it's hard to see that sort of duality where you're like, something's not the right math.
But it does feel like, especially with Roma's success in the Europa Conference League.
Yeah.
It seems like fans are kind of warming up to Jose and his vision.
I mean, he hasn't had a particularly stellar season, but it hasn't been particularly poor either.
Right.
It's been like a lot of.
Yeah. Who's the English striker on Roma? Why am I forgetting his name?
Tammy
Abraham.
You can't forget Tammy.
He's doing great.
First of all, Tammy is thriving. Mm-hmm. Okay, Chelsea who?
Right,
thriving.
They just lost to Everton. They could have used Tammy Abraham
for
over
real.
There.
It's the Tammy curse. They're like, watch him do better. His glow up, phenomenal.
Jamal asked a question. Jamal also asked a question before. I said, what Premier League team do you support? And Christine is a Gooner, by the way. I think Jamal is as well. Jamal said, the stadiums in Serie A are always empty most of the times. Why is that, though?
Well, that is more of a recent problem. So only, let's see.
Not every team is going
to
be
d'Italia,
full.
Germany d'Italia, I think, was the first time we were allowed to have a full stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And that was within the last month. That was in March.
I don't know.
So
that's just been going on a long time.
During the pandemic, I mean, obviously, Italy got hit very, very hard with COVID.
Right, right.
And so that changed situations and protocols. Even at like the town level, they were kind of still coded in color up until the last month or so, depending upon where and when. So I think that's a huge contributor. Normally they're pretty packed, and the fans, supporters, the curvas are usually full.
All right. I love Joey D just said, referring to Italy, he said, if we played South or Central Macedonia, maybe we would have won. Good. But see, this is kind of.
Can we get somebody to secede real fast? We can do this again. I want to redo.
Okay, why wasn't there a civil war to split this strong North Macedonia team up? Okay. Jamal said, as an Arsenal fan, I hate Jose after he called my manager a specialist in failure. That's right.
He's such a good heel, though. Can we just agree that he's a little bit, like, he would be amazing if they wanted to give him a spot on, like, WWE?
Right, because Jose is definitely known for, he doesn't hold, like, he's not coy or, you know, about, he's okay delivering personal attacks on people. He doesn't, like, curse or swear or get vulgar, but he just says something that is, like, all right, we're going to be talking about this for the next 6 months.
It resonates with me because that's kind of the mental terrorist that I am. Is I'm like, I'll be very polite about it, but I'll be thinking about it 5 years later.
Hey, that's fair.
And Robert from L.A., I just want to clarify that I said I'm not on Roma's payroll because that would be really bizarre to say out loud on camera. No, I'm not affiliated with Roma. I just have quite an affinity for them and their philanthropic work. And they have good kids.
Right, right. Yeah, they were... Roma, they have an office in New York, I believe.
Yeah, actually, aside from that, Serie A has opened offices within the last month and finally set up shop in New York on U.S. soil, which is very good because it's a wonderful accompaniment to the 7 U.S. investors across the Serie A clubs that there are, which is the most we have ever seen. They're still largely Italian-held.
Right.
Near and dear.
And it's a bummer it didn't work out with Mike Piazza. I wish. I'm a Met fan, so it would have been great. But what are you going to do? I mean, look, it's I don't even know the details about it, but I know it was a mess.
Yeah, you know, as long as you want to bring in an American, you know, the token American to drive a club into bankruptcy, it's no problem.
Joey D said, can we talk about Venezia's spectacular rise to Serie A and how painful it is watching the most fire kits in the game heading towards relegation? Yes, before we started, before we went live, I did mention this to Christine. I'm like, I think I've watched maybe 3 or 4 Venezia matches. I think I saw one win and mostly losses, the other ones. But I watch Venezia because I want to see Gianluca Busio
Taylor Tessman.
Tanner Tessman.
Oh, sorry. Tanner. Misspeaking right now.
And Tanner, who hasn't really played that much, which is a bit of a surprise because, I mean, he was getting a lot of shine, especially at FC Dallas. He was playing for the under 23 team for the U.S.
FC Dallas absolutely churned them out. That academy is just.
It's Tanner Tessman's an interesting guy because he's not built like a midfielder per se. right? He should be. You would think he would be a striker or a center back. But the guy's great on the ball, a strong technical ability, and he's also very strong and can put people away from the ball, and they won't. You know, he won't let them get it. But he hasn't gotten that much playing time in Venezia, and I wonder if it's because maybe the style. I don't know if it's because he's American, the style of play. Does he not fit in what Venezia is trying to or how they're trying to play? Because I think to have a player like that, you have to. I don't know how experimental or how much of a vision you need to have. He's just a big center midfielder.
Yeah, I think it's hard in that situation because obviously working in your promoted season, everything's kind of a work in progress. Right. You're testing and sampling. You're trying to give yourself the best shot you can. So I feel like it leaves less room for heavy experimentation because of the high risk, high reward.
A nice quote, Bruce said, all vibes, no wins.
I mean, I love everything about Venezia. They did such a good job. Their vision is great. Even their attitude about like their current standing, which is last in Serie A.
Yeah.
They have truly traversed Serie C, Serie B, Serie A, and more than a few times. And so, I mean, I don't think that I'd give them yo-yo club status yet because there's been a few that have bopped between Serie B and Serie A more than a handful of times. But this will not be the last time that we see Venezia in Serie A. And, I mean, obviously I'm always going to be rooting for them. They do things too well, and they have far too much respect for the sport. Like, you just, there's a different feeling there that, and I think that is a lot of their draw for even bringing in new fans.
Yeah, the one thing that it always resonated with me, especially, and they've, you know, obviously a lot of people know about them because of, like, they have a great marketing campaign. But the interesting thing is that they do that by just, like, organically kind of choosing who to work with. They work with like photographers that we know and like influencers that we know and stuff like that, but they don't really have, from what I understand, they don't have like a large marketing budget. They don't spend a lot of money to whether it's like billboards or all this other stuff. They like organically just try to get, it's like word of mouth.
They're very wise about where they spend and creating impact and also choosing projects, right?
Right.
So they don't do anything that would be outside the realm of what would be, I classify it as like tasteful for Venezia, right?
Yeah.
So they did that that photography coffee table book with Ethan White.
Right.
That has a very specific feel to it that is just a compliment to them as a club. Every single one of the kits that they issued this year are gorgeous. The way that they market themselves, even social media wise, even when they have like funny clapback moments, like they just, they do things so well that you want to see them thrive. And it's like, this is a shame that, you know, now they're stuck in the bottom of the table, doing battle to the end.
You hate to see it because they've been, they're a fun follow at the very least on social media. We had a question from, I think it was Elo, if I'm not mistaken. Somebody asked, I can't find it here. Oh, here it is. Elo said, Kupo, who's your favorite Italian player of all time, and why is it Mario Balotelli?
I do, actually. I love Balotelli.
Okay.
I do. I think that he gets a bad rap. I think he's a far better player than people give him credit for.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that one part of that is he's unapologetic about who he is. He's certainly not keen to conform to some of the more traditional managers and how they perhaps like him to behave. And then I think that there's a small part of that that's also just racism.
Sure. Yeah. He's not retired, right? Mm-hmm. He is. I don't know if he's playing now. Does he have a club?
He's playing out in Turkey.
Okay.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's still out there. I haven't double checked on him. Yeah, actually, he is, because Mancini had been speculated to call him up for the World Cup qualifiers.
That would have been nice.
And people had been speculating, like, hey, would you really be pulling him up? Because obviously the argument is always, you know, what are the highest quality leagues that you're going to pick a player from?
Right.
Are they going to be in top form? Do we really want to be going into, like, Superliga or whatever to get a player that we want to qualify with?
Right.
I would argue yes, but with that, you're still going to get Balotelli in full Balotelli form.
Yeah, and I saw Balotelli. If you don't follow Sergio Aguero on TikTok, I highly recommend it.
I don't, but what is he doing?
He does.
Is he dancing?
No, he doesn't dance. He does watch-alongs for Manchester City games, a lot of games. He just like, I guess he does watch-alongs like on Twitch.
Yeah.
And then he has like an editor clip the stuff, and they'll show the clip and his reaction to it. But he often will bring a guest to watch a game with him, and he had Balotelli watching the Manchester City Real Madrid game, and they were watching it together.
Oh, I love that.
So it was great, and Balotelli, his Spanish is great. I know he speaks a couple languages.
He's a super smart guy.
And his Spanish is great, but for whatever reason, I just like never really paid attention to Balotelli's voice. This man has the deepest voice.
Yeah.
It's Barry White, like turned up. He's just the deepest voice in the world. He literally sounds like somebody they're trying to mask his voice from in an interview or something like that.
Yeah, especially he could be like the like sea shanty like singer,
right?
Like,
yeah, just a baritone.
Even in Italian, he's very bassy.
So he's playing. He plays for. In Turkey, he's based for Adana Demirspor.
Yeah.
Demirspor. Okay. So, yeah, it would have been nice to see him play. I mean, they couldn't have done any worse. That's what I hate about Italy and, like, when, you know, they are saying the national team, like, oh, this player is not good enough to play on the national team. Or Giovinco, like, oh, I don't know.
Well, that was a lot of the reason that I was so deeply steeped in this conversation was because it was, oh, well, by default, that means that Giovinco's out of the conversation. And so by proxy, anybody that comes after him must have a similar trajectory. So when
right.
you bring in somebody like an Insigne, then, you know, his career is dead now, too. And it's like, you guys are so dramatic. The world changes. Science
right.
changes. It's 2022.
Yeah.
We have a 39-year-old Zlatan playing still professionally at an elite level. Like, let's not pretend like playing in MLS is a death sentence.
Exactly. And especially you if you miss the World Cup, you can't really hold on to these, like, you know, you're not good enough to play. Like,
how dare you play in my league when we also have not qualified in the last cycle?
It's insulting.
The audacity.
But yeah. Okay. So we'll wrap up in a little bit. And just Ilos has said the deep voice is from all the pre-match cigarettes. Does Balotelli smoke? I don't know if he's a smoker.
I don't think he's a smoker. Although, like, I've played with Frenchmen who do smoke, who just, like,
yeah.
break it down and chain smoke at the half, and that's an interesting dynamic.
Yeah,
to have.
There's only been a couple we have on Cooligans FC before you played on the team.
The golden years.
There were a couple comics that, like, after the game would, like, rip into some cigarettes. And I'm like, how? I'm like, I'm actually impressed. I don't know how you wasted pretty much all the oxygen you have, and you're like, you know what? I could use a cigarette right now, because I'm tired of this auction. Who cares about it? Okay. Jamal said, let's be honest, Jorginho caused Italy not to qualify for the World Cup. He ain't Brazilian nor Italian. He's from El Salvador. Is it real? I thought he was Brazilian and then like became
yeah,
an Italian citizen.
I mean, we're
this is a hilarious accusation.
A deep dive, right? Like, dun, dun, dun.
I hope Jorginho's from El Salvador. That'd be great.
It turned out that, like, Jorginho's actually a secret agent. He was hired. They're like, this is the long con. I'm going to make sure we don't qualify.
Yeah, dude. He should be playing with Alex Roldan out there. That'd be great. Ilos has said, Balotelli smokes cigs in the locker room, bro. There's videos online. Okay. Thank you for the heads up.
His PR people are not doing a good enough job. I would have been like, no, we're going to put up a green screen. There's no cigarettes back here.
Okay. Oh, so you know what? We should wrap up with just some Serie A predictions. What do we think of the table? How many games are left? We got, what, three games?
Yeah.
3 games left.
About 3 weeks. Cause we're in May now. My gosh.
AC Milan is in first, 2 points above Inter Milan. How's the, you know, we saw in La Liga, we saw Real Madrid, obviously, they secured the title the other day. Did you see the picture of Carlo Ancelotti with the cigar? Oh, I got to find it.
I adore that picture so much. Like, I want to like it less, but I can't. I don't have it in me.
I'll pull up that photo in a second because it's great. But Do we think? I feel like who do we predict doing? And when I'm like, I've seen like three games this season.
I feel like
such a phony asking the question. But yes, I did watch a lot of.
No, it's okay because guess what? Even if you had watched long, you'd still be like, I don't know. Every week it's changed.
Okay.
Games in hand have not been games in hand.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a lot of chaos, a little bit of excitement. I have at different parts of the season said that Napoli were taking it. I have also said, unfortunately, Inter were going to win the Scudetto again. And then I finally rested on, like, no, Milan. I think Milan could go all the way. And unfortunately, my beloved Juve, I think they could still shimmy between the fourth and third spot. I don't see too much changing there. But I think that as of this week, I think I might be shifting toward Milan.
Okay. Zlatan has been injured most of the year. Is he still hurt? He's still hurt, right? He hasn't been playing.
No, I mean, he's back, but
okay.
Not
off the bench.
Yeah, like he has definitely wrestled with injuries this season, especially like knee things. And I mean, what more can you expect?
Right, right.
Like, this man has so much wear and tear on his body. Me, an amateur, still beating the hell out of myself weekly, aggressively. Like, I'm missing knee cartilage. Like, come on.
He did. There was some interview. I saw some like quote from him where he was like, when he was talking about MLS, he was like, I'm the best thing that ever happened to MLS. And they asked him again, like, are you going to retire this year? And he's basically like, no. It seems like it's getting to the point where we're getting into, like, delusional old man. We're like, all right, dude, like, I get that you're good, but maybe you should actually take care of your body.
On one hand, yeah. On one hand, I'm very much like, hey, if you can still give it a go, like, right. Give it a go. The thing is, with the way that Milan have used him, they're not overly reliant on him. So it's not as impactful when he's injured or not or otherwise. He's still an impact player when you bring him on. It's just that they don't live and die by him the way that, say, Juve were using Ronaldo as a patch last season.
Or the LA Galaxy.
Right. that too.
Right.
But there's just a different dynamic at Milan and an understanding, right? Same thing with Giroud. Like, they don't overly rely on him. You see Tammy thriving. Like, things have changed.
Sure.
And so I feel like the way that they've used their talent, especially the elder talent, we'll call them, has been very effective.
Okay. All right. I think we should wrap up there, unless anybody in the chat has something. Jamal said top four is done in Serie A. Jess Howen said Juventus to Europa. Okay. Must not be a fan. Okay. AC Jeremy Direppo said AC Milan winning the league after paying off Inter's keeper Radu. What is this? What is he referring to?
Inter's keeper had a phenomenal flub.
Okay.
That caused the most hilarious goal I've ever. It was a roller that just like back pass that went awry.
All right.
A tap in, if you will, but rolled right by the keeper. And so, yeah, that one's honestly, I've replayed that clip so many times. It just brings me joy.
I got to see it. Elo Stack said Kupo is way better co host than Alexis. She actually stays on topic and doesn't talk about food for 3 hours. So.
I promise you, I will make you miss Alexis.
Okay. Douglas Reyes Ron said FC Cologne to Europa League. Go goat team. Yeah, in Bundesliga. Is Cologne qualified? Where's I haven't watched the Bundesliga standings.
And
but
I have seen, I think, maybe 5 Bundesliga matches this season.
I watched.
And mostly just attributed to, I'm going blank right now.
To a person or?
Yeah, person. Help me. Sounds like. Guy, player, American.
An American player, Tyler Adams?
No.
There's an American player.
Recent, yeah. In the chat, you know
Alfonso
who I'm talking
Davies.
About.
He's not American. No. He's Canadian. But
it's fine. I need to finish this like quadruple cinquanta espresso that I started.
The matches that I like want to watch, especially in Bundesliga, are usually the Der Klassiker, and so I want to see Bayern and Dortmund. But then literally the last like 5 years, I'm like, Dortmund are gonna make this competitive. They have Erling Haaland and the whole thing. And it's just never competitive.
Yeah, one of my best friends is unfortunately a huge Dortmund supporter.
Okay.
And so I do tend to catch some of those matches just to commiserate, because, you know, sometimes you need the solidarity.
Of course.
Makes me feel good when, you know, my teams are thriving and other people are a little bit in the mud and I can give them a hug. I'd be like, I've been there.
They need it. I just want to pull up that photo. I saw Aaron West. I remember he shared it, but he...
Oh, my God, a video? I haven't seen this video. Okay. I have, in fact, seen the photo.
Okay, so this is Carlo Ancelotti dancing with Vinicius and Eder Militao. I mean, this guy. See, the reason this makes me so upset is because he was the Everton manager less than a year ago.
Yes, I know. I'm sorry. I don't particularly have anything against Ancelotti.
Yeah, but you know what? I personally have so many things against Ancelotti. This man doesn't deserve good things to happen to him, with all due respect, of course. But no, it's frustrating because look at him celebrating and look at the situation that Everton are in.
Boy, you're on social media checking your ex. Bro, I understand the pain.
They told me to block him, but I can't. It's difficult.
You're like, look at him out there dancing, enjoying life. You weren't dancing, enjoying life with me.
Look at the smile on his face. He didn't smile like that with me. Okay. I can't find the photo of him.
That photo is absolutely...
Where's the photo? Here it is.
He's just like cigar, sunglasses.
This man doesn't deserve to be thriving like this.
I'm so sorry, but this is like, this is an elite sports photo moment.
Look at him.
He needs to be hung somewhere.
He's with literally, I was going to say all the Brazilian guys, but David Alaba is Austrian. Yeah. But, you know.
Close enough. Brazilian plus.
Somebody told me, I mean, I get, people think I'm Brazilian all the time. That happens all the time. But someone, I remember we did an interview at a soccer academy in like, Matawan, New Jersey, something like that. And it
Short
was
points.
It was with RJ Allen, who played for NYCFC. Yep. He played Philadelphia Union and Orlando. And a kid came up to me after the whole thing. We did like an hour interview, and it was mostly kids at the thing. And instead of saying like, "Oh, that was fun, you were funny," blah, 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 he was like, "You look like David Alaba." The kid was like 9 years old. I'm like, how do you know who that is?
Hi, kid. What?
this is what goes. This is what passes for a compliment nowadays. Yeah. With these kids. But no, props to Real Madrid, Los Merengues. We'll see how they do in Champions League, because that was an exciting.
I mean, Champions League is always surprising, and that's what I love about it. Is these teams that are, league champions, otherwise phenomenal, where you're like, oh, they're going to crush. And then you're like, oh, eliminated. Oh, that's a weird story there.
Just Howen said, what did he win with you? Referring to Ancelotti. He won my heart. Okay. That's why he won.
It was a trauma bond for Christian.
All right. There's not exactly a trophy for that, but it still counts. But yes, Champions League. Yeah. The second leg with Real Madrid against Manchester City at the Bernabeu should be entertaining.
Fire.
That handball, I think, changed everything.
It's amazing how there's always some tiny thing that just changes the whole trajectory of
right?
a match.
And especially with, you know, you kind of only notice it with, like, when Chelsea, City play Liverpool, where, like, the finest of margins are what separate these two teams. And that handball, I just, like, what would – I don't understand. Why is his arm out there? Clear the ball.
He really said.
If something happened, when Manchester City have to play, like, a really good team, like, one of their players always does just – one stupid thing that leads to something like that. But I think it might end up being the difference.
That's
City too good. They should
like
win.
The catalyst for something, right? Because you can only outmanage each other so much.
Right.
There's equal talent. Somebody might have an off day. Somebody right. might be up. Who knows?
I say City win this game. And I think aggregate one goal. I think of one goal will be the difference.
My thing is, like, I am not a spouse to Real. I'm
sure.
not. Like, I've never been like, oh, my God, I love them. If anything, I've kind of had, like, a weird, like, I want you to lose just because, kind of giving them a look, yeah. But I'm tired of City winning things.
But they haven't won Champions League.
I know. But, like, I just feel like, maybe not. You know, like, I woke up this morning and chose nah.
Okay.
Like,
that's fair.
I might be really rooting, you know, big Hala Madrid energy.
Yeah, I'm a little, so we got to... interview Pablo Zabaleta a couple weeks ago, and you know, he was like an ambassador for Manchester City. So it's like,
that's a good ambassador to have.
But so there's a little bit of like, you know, Pep has really been trying to win this. There's been a lot of heartbreak. VAR has destroyed City in Champions League from time to time. It'd be nice to see them win it. Real Madrid, they've won it plenty, but
it's true.
Benzema, you know what? The one person I'd like to see. I would like to see.
I love him so much.
He's unbelievable.
And I'm so happy that he is just suddenly like took off.
Ronaldo was holding him back, bro.
He was. I'm telling you. I have a theory that on certain teams, there's players that need to be the guy. Mm. And when they're not the guy, they're not working to their full aptitude.
Sure.
The second that they cleared that space, boom, we've got the best Benzema we've seen in a while.
PFC Manor said, was Cooper referring to Ricardo Pepi before?
Oh, I love you. Thank you.
Okay, at Augsburg.
I really rolled in here and filled up an entire coffee mug with espresso, and I'm only halfway through it. So thank you for helping with my glitch.
Douglas Reyes, your own said, people call the Bundesliga the Farmers League, but keep watching La Liga being won by the same two teams every year. LOL, sure, okay. I would say the English probably call it the Farmers League. I don't think Americans really do.
Yeah, I feel like it gets tossed around as like this grand insult because mm-hmm. every league has been called the Farmers League. Setting up Farmers League.
I've always thought about this. How do farmers feel about these comparisons? Everybody's like, Farmers League, Farmers.
Cuts to farmer.
You couldn't farm for a day, all right? Stop talking about farmers like this is the worst job. It's a difficult job.
They're plowing the fields. They're planting.
Okay.
All
right.
Give them some credit.
The world's agriculture is not just going to grow itself. All right. Be respectful to farmers. Okay. anything else? Why are people so mean to farmers? That's how I'm asking
I don't know. We need to do a better campaign for farmers. The PR for farmers is going up from here. We can join this initiative.
Okay. Farmers need more subsidies. That's how we're going to fix this. Okay. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. Seriously, this has been super fun. And shouts to Christine Cooper for coming in here in a bind. I mean, seriously, it was like I called you. I texted you, 50 minutes before we went live, and she came through, absolute hero. So everybody, go support and show love to Christine Cupo. If you don't follow her on social media, at C Cupo on Twitter. And
Miss Cupo on the IGs, and I think it might be the same on TikTok, though I'm an infrequent poster, but I promise you when I do post, it's absolutely idiotic, which you might appreciate.
Go follow, yes, and you can catch her on CBS Sports, doing a bunch of stuff for Serie A. So seriously, yeah, thank you for everybody for hanging out with us. Again, shout out to Christine. Also, join our Patreon, patreon.com/soccercooligans. Alexis and I did a no-cap recap podcast last week from his time in London. So you can hear about all the behind-the-scenes stuff from that trip. Also, I just posted the uncut interview from our time in Liverpool. We interviewed Molly McCann at Goodison Park, and in the documentary there was only about a minute of the interview, but this is the full interview. So please check that out, because that is available right now on Patreon. Okay. Anything else before we go? Follow us at Soccer Cooligans. Hit the subscribe button here on YouTube. Hit the like button. You know how to do whatever all the kids do here on YouTube.
Heart it, like it, share it. Yeah, high five, you know, each other.
Smash that shit, bruh. And again, shout out to OSNYC for welcoming us again. Dopest gaming space. Go check out check them out on social media. OS _ New York City. OSNYC. Just Google it. Come out here if you ever want to just get some drinks, play some games. I'm looking at the weekly events list right in front of me. There is a Smash Brothers tournament coming up. There's tabletop and tequila.
I don't know what that is, but I am interested. You said tequila.
That sounds fun. And Sunday is student discount day. Okay. All right. You need those discounts.
Please give me their badge.
You know how much you owe in student loans? You need to come out here for student discount day. But seriously, always shout out to OSNYC. And I'll be back tomorrow. Doing another show. I don't know. I mean, you could co-host again if you want. I don't know. I have no idea. I mean, you already did this.
Like, allow me to put you on the spot on camera. Yeah. Now you're stuck.
No pressure, but everybody.
I have enjoyed my time with you.
So
10 out of 10 would do again.
Okay. Everybody, thank you so much for hanging out. I didn't even get to use the air horn today. At least put it to use once. Whatever. I have a couple. I forgot to play.
Sound effect.
I have. Oh, speaking of CBS Sports, I have this from CBS Sports. This is Micah Richards.
You don't know where I'm from, dog.
Remember that?
Yeah.
I got that.
That's Micah doing clips.
You never know when you're going to need that one. And I have this one from Chris Whittingham. It hit him in the
penis.
Remember that? Hit him in the penis. That was a
honestly,
good.
Honestly, there's never been more effective, concise commentary on any broadcast. And okay. He's a king for that.
All right. So shout out to Chris and Micah for their contributions to the program. All right. You guys are the absolute best. I will see you tomorrow, 1 p.m. Eastern time, right here on YouTube. Again, join the Patreon, patreon.com/soccercooligans. And I'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Peace.